morning that we have so many things in common. We have a common faith. We have a common hope. And all of the things that we have that are good for us. At the same time, we have a common enemy. And that common enemy is Satan. And we have a history of sin in our world. We have a history of sin from the standpoint of even the Garden of Eden. And as we recognize that, we have to work against sin and make our lives better. So this morning I want to talk with you about the idea of sins that follow later and the good works that cannot be hidden. This is a statement by the Apostle Paul as he speaks to his son Timothy in the faith in chapter 5 and verse 24 and verse 25. Paul said, "Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly seen, and those who are otherwise cannot be hidden." And so it contrasts very clearly the idea of sins as opposed to good works. And we need to recognize that this involves us, and we hope to be able to do something about that. We talk about now the sins that follow later. That is, as he said, some sins are really evident, but then some sins are not. And we talk about secret sins that maybe only we know about and no one else seems to know. But the Bible talks about some that are just brazen in sin. They're proud of their sins, and I think to a large degree this speaks of our generation today in America, that people are brazen in their sins. And they don't care who knows it. Paul addressed that too. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning of verse 18, he said, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." This describes, of course, a lot of people, and these are the ones who are not secret in their sins. They brag in their sins and engage in them all the time. And yet there are some sins that are very public. In Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul rebuked Peter, another apostle, because he said that he was a hypocrite when he would not eat with the Gentiles in the presence of the Jews from Jerusalem. And so here was something that was very public. And not all sins are secret, but he was rebuked even at that particular point. But God makes us calls us to make judgments concerning sin based on what we see or hear. And we have to make those judgments, and God will, of course, tend to it in the long run. But in Matthew chapter 7, beginning of verse 15, the Bible says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that is that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you'll know them." And these are the sins that we can see, that we understand. But the Bible talks about us who are Christians who sin, the Bible says to restore those in a spirit of love and compassion. And Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul was writing to the churches of Galatia, and he said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So, as I said, we have this common enemy. We have the common problem that we do sin. And sometimes we're the only ones who know of our sins. We hide them from others, but we can't hide anything from God. And so there are some sins that are done in secret, and Paul is saying that their judgment is going to follow after. Well, in Acts chapter 5, you read about Ananias and Sapphira as they lied to the Holy Spirit about their contribution. And of course, Peter was, as an apostle, understood what they had done and rebuked them publicly for it. But nevertheless, they were hoping that it would be in secret. Also in 2 Samuel 12, in verse 12, the prophet Nathan came before David and said, what you did in secret, but all Israel is going to hear about it. And so he was going to make it known, and it was made known that David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he had to bear that, and because of that he had to also have the sword in his family all his life, and he had to pay dearly for some of those things. John chapter 3 and in verse 20, the scripture says, I'll turn one more page, for everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And this is the problem with hiding sin. And we understand that some people really live a sinful life. They try to put on a show. And the Bible calls them hypocrites. And in the, well, the word that was used was like one, an actor, he puts a face on to play an act. But he's not at all like that on the inside. And so here's somebody that paints a face on of being a very faithful Christian. But on the inside, he's full of dead men works and that sort of thing. So Jesus warns us about that sort of thing, not to be taken in by secret sin. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27, he said, you have heard that it was said in those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. Now this would be a secret sin. And we have to recognize that some men are like that, and even some women are like that, have secret sins that they try to hide from everybody. But what Paul is saying to Timothy, that even though you may hide these sins, that these sins are going to follow you to the judgment day. We don't get away with anything. I think that a lot of people that play games with God, they put on this religious face and their religious clothes, and then they do things good on Sunday, but through the rest of the week, they're like the rest of the world. And God sees that. And so if I fool everybody, if I get such a good at it that I hypocritically live in such a way, but I fool everybody, God will take care of that at the judgment day. And Proverbs chapter 28 says that you're not going to get away with it. Even though you may think you've done it just like David did. David thought he got away with it, but he really didn't. When you turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 28, you begin to see some things that God understands, and that it helps us understand exactly what we're going to be facing. Chapter 28 and in verse 13, again I turn the page. In verse 13, the wise man said, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And that's a good thing for us to know. Acts chapter 17 and other passages, 2 Peter chapter 3, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's an option that we have. So if there's some secret sin that you're practicing that nobody else knows about, let God know that you're sorry, that you repent of that, change your life, and you'll be able to be saved in the latter day. And that's what he's talking about. And then we have in Numbers chapter 32 a passage that says, be sure your sins will find you out. Well, some people go through life and they never caught. They never really, nobody discovers the real fruit that they're bearing. But God is not fooled. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows our actions. So as we said in 1 Timothy 5:24, sin will find us out either now or in judgment. If you caught me in a sin, I hope you wouldn't be quiet. I hope that you would talk to me about it. Maybe I've been misunderstood. Maybe I've done something wrong. But you would help me as I depend upon the church as my safety factor. Because I want to live in such a way that you can see my life as an open book. And when, if I do something wrong, don't let me go to hell in secret. Say something to me about it, and I will do that for you as well. If I see something in your life that I think is wrong, because I'm a Christian, not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a Christian, I'll talk to you about that. Because we want to go to heaven together, and we need to recognize that. And the Bible says that God's Word will discern our thoughts and intents. Now, I've read a lot of fiction books. I love Western fiction books, and some of the best that have ever been written. But Hebrews said there's something different about the Bible. It's not like any other book. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning of verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any other two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we must give an account." And so, when you recognize that, understand that, and believe that, reading the Bible searches your heart. It's like if you read a really good Western book, you may go back like Zane Grey, and he paints the picture of the Westerns and all that sort of thing, the Western scenes and things of that nature and the actions of men. But it doesn't really say anything to me. But you can't read the Bible without the mirror of the Word, as James calls it. You're looking into the mirror of that to see what kind of person I am. And the Bible will tell you. That's the one good thing about the Word of God, like it's sharp and it's better than a two-edged sword. It cuts into the marrow, the joints. It will reveal who you are. Isn't that amazing? Some people just think the Bible is a book to put on the shelf or the coffee table and never really read. But when you read the Bible, it cuts right to the very heart of every one of us. And it's so good to know that God gave us that Word that'll do that. In Galatians chapter 6 says, "When God is not going to be mocked. As you sow, that's what you're going to reap." God is not going to be mocked. So many people, and I can't think of a better expression to say than just that they play games with God. They will, on one hand, act religious, on the other hand, be anti-religious. And you see that in people all the time. It's amazing how public some of these things have been. We talked in class a little bit this morning about pedophilia in the Catholic Church. They thought they were doing that in secret, but it all came out. And I remember reading about, not too long ago, about a number of Free Will Baptist preachers that have done the same thing. And they're being investigated now by the government. And you see, you think, like Jesus said, some things you don't like the light, you like dark. Because people do things in the dark thinking they're going to hide. But there's an all-seeing eye. There was an old country western song many years ago about an all-seeing eye. But that's the truth. God sees everything that we do. So the idea that I'm going to get away with something, don't delude myself and don't delude yourself. If you haven't done what the Bible says, you're going to be lost. That's just the truth about the matter. But when you obey the gospel of Christ, when you do what the Bible tells you to do, then you have that assurance. And we talked about in the opening about the common faith that we share, the common hope that we have, because we're not trying to mock God, we're trying to do what He says. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that we're going to stand before God and all of our works, good and bad, are going to be considered. And so, you know, the Christian has an edge here. When you're a child of God and you commit sin, and we do sometimes, I can repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 tells me to do that. And God will forgive me. And so not all my works are going to be at the judgment day if I've been forgiven. But if I hold on to these sins and fail to repent, all of them will be there. As Hebrews said, all things are going to be naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. God will know every thought of our heart. He'll know every act of our being, and we have to give answer to those kinds of things. And the secret things will be judged. As the book of Ecclesiastes closes in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, talks about the whole duty of man is to worship God and obey God, but all the works that we do, good and bad, are going to be seen by God. And this is something we really need to know. I think we have sometimes an attitude that we can fool God like we fool people. And it's not going to happen. He doesn't play games with us. He's told us right up front exactly what He wants us to do. He's told us right up front how to be a Christian. He's told us right up front how to live a Christian life. And I know, as we talked in class again this morning, that sets us free. I believe if people could really feel the weight of sin the way it really is, I believe that one of the reasons that churches are not growing now is because people enjoy their sin. They're not ashamed of it. They're brazen with it. And the feeling of guilt is not heavy. But when someone reads the Bible and it opens up their heart and they see the reality of what they've done, how bad it is, that wants to bring people to God. And I think our country is not feeling that as they should. So we need to ask forgiveness, to repent, and we'll be blessed. Let's turn to Psalms 32 and notice what David had to say. Chapter 32, beginning of verse 1. And this is repeated in Romans 4. Paul repeated this in Romans 4. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silence, David said, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you will forgive the iniquity of my sin. That is such a good promise. And that's a promise to everybody, that when the weight of sin bears you down. We said something, we sang a song this morning, if I miss heaven, what shall I do? And the weight of that just bears on me. The thought of being lost, of going to hell instead of going to heaven, is just beyond comprehension. I dread the idea that I might do something. And so we talked about the fear of the Lord and how we fear doing wrong. If that is your attitude, as David expressed in Psalms 32, you come back to God and you repent of what you've done wrong, or you obey His will, and God will forgive your iniquity. And so here's the good thing about this passage. The sins that follow later, no sins will follow you if you repent of your sins and obey the gospel. Isn't that a good thought? Those sins will not follow you. But then there's also another part to this, and that is the good works cannot be hidden. God requires good works. After Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. He says in verse 10 of that same chapter, just following on along, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so God has a lifestyle prepared for you. He wants a lifestyle that you ought to be able to do. 2 Timothy 3 says the Word of God supplies you to every good work. If you really want to know what a good work is, you read the Bible. People often will do something that's not authorized by the Scriptures, and they say, well, it's a good work. Well, it's not a good work if you don't have the authority for it. And that's one thing that Paul has told us that. Then in the book of Titus, chapter 3 and in verse 8, Paul also said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And so he wants us to do good. And There are some, and we'll get to it a little bit later, there are some good works that are secret. You don't do it to be praised by men. Jesus condemned those who had loud prayers on the street corners and said they've received their reward. They're not going to get any reward but the praise of men. And there are different kinds of good works that you can do. Sometimes these good works are seen, and you would go ahead and do those. Sometimes they're not. But in Matthew chapter 3, we have another scripture that explains some of the things that God wants us to know about this. He said in verse 13, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to who are all in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And so these are things that God wants us to do. Even if they are seen, they would be good works, and we need to do that. His requirements for those good works, as I said, are to be seen of God, not by men. You do a thing, and I use this word not often, but the word altruistic. You do it good simply because it's good. You don't have a reason other than that. It's not that you're going to show off to somebody, but you just see this and you say, it's good that I do that, and you do it because it's good. And that helps us to understand some things. And Jesus had a lot to say on the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 6, beginning of verse 1, "Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." And that's good within itself. That's how I use the word altruistic. That when you look at something and you know that you're going to help somebody, it doesn't matter whether people see that or not. You're not doing it, in fact, only for the person who has need. You're doing it because you're a Christian, you're a child of God, and you do it because God has told you to do that. And Paul told the Philippians that you always obey, even in my absence. If Paul was not at Philippi, what kind of life would they lead? If Paul was at Philippi, what kind of life would they lead? So the idea is that some people will put on airs. They'll put on a hypocritical act in the presence of somebody important, maybe. But the idea is that whether Paul is... And see, Paul isn't here today, is he? But we know how we ought to live, don't we? And so we do that, whether Paul is present or not, but we have his words to guide us. And the quiet nature of some good works, as we don't blow trumpets and things of that nature, but in 1 Corinthians 12... beginning of verse 20, the Apostle Paul said again, "For now indeed there..." I want to drop on down to verse 23 and 24. "Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and on unprincipled parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. So there should be," and here's the good work, "no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." So Jesus warned about bringing somebody in that's rich and putting him up front. Somebody that's poor and you put them at the back. You treat every Christian the same way. And that's just, you don't notice it maybe. But when you're in the assembly, we treat everybody the same way. And when we are helping others, we do the same thing. And so they're good works. And we have to understand we don't be discouraged by going unnoticed. You see, if I really want people to know that I'm doing good works, then I have the wrong in heart. But if I do that, I don't want to be discouraged because nobody sees it, because God sees it. And that's the important thing. And Galatians 6 says, as we sow, we'll reap. So we have to really understand what I do, I'm doing for the Lord. I don't care whether people see it or not, and a lot of times I don't want people to see it because it's something I'll do in secret, and God will reward me for that. And there are some that can't be hidden. The reward of God is coming, just like judgment is coming for those with secret sins. For good works, we must be patient because God is going to reward us for those. The Bible tells us clearly that God is going to reward us for the good deeds that we've done. So I don't have to have somebody pat me on the back. I don't have to have somebody say, well, I saw you doing this and you did good. I don't have to have that. If I do a work and it's seen and it's good, that takes care of itself. But to go about doing good privately is from an altruistic heart. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do, whether people see it or not. And so the point of all this is that there's some sins that follow later. Some sins that we try to hide. Some sins that we think nobody knows. But they're going to catch up with us. And good works that cannot be hidden, because they'll come out one way or the other. People will either see the good works, which are good fruit from a good tree, or that will also follow later and God will reward us. So either way, we need to be sure that we're doing the right thing. So this morning I'd like to ask you, are you living the life that Paul and Jesus recommended? Do you look around for opportunities of doing good for people? Do you try to bring people to Christ? That's the most important thing of all. As we talked in class again this morning, sometimes people resent somebody trying to tell them about their sins and trying to get them to be saved, but it's an act of love when somebody says, why don't you obey the gospel of Christ? And so again and again and again, we preach the same message that's been preached since the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Acts tells us that you need to believe in Jesus Christ, except you believe that I'm He, John 8:24, you'll die in your sins. Then repent of any wrong that you've done. And maybe there's some things that you don't even remember, but repent of sin in your life. God will understand that. Be willing to confess the name of Christ. I made that confession as a young fellow many years ago, and I've never regretted it. I'll do it again and again. Then I was baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And that helped me become a child of God. And then I want to live faithfully, because I know that sins will follow after. And we need to be aware of that. If you're not a Christian this morning, I'd like to encourage you to obey the gospel of Christ and to put on Christ in baptism.